Autumnal. Autumnal. That's right.
Yep.
Autumnal.
First time was it.
Autumnal. Okay. No. Okay.
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And today we're going to talk about the fall equinox. Bean, are you ready?
Sure am.
Hey, Signal listeners, before we get into this week's episode, I have something personal to share that I wanted to take a minute and just talk to you about. For those of you that have been listening to our podcast, you know that I have written a book, and I am so excited to share that this book is finally available for pre-sale on Amazon and Target.com and several other places. My book is called Higher Self, Reclaiming the Power of Your Intuition. And it is all of my coaching methodology, but also very much a personal memoir about my own life and how I realized that I had the intuitive gifts that I had and all of the highs and lows that I've navigated that have really allowed me to create the method that's been so life-changing for so many people. And this has been truly a labor of love for the past 2 years, and the book is finally available for pre-order. If you can take just a minute and visit any of the links that we are going to put in the show notes to put in your pre-order, it helps this book so much when it finally comes out in March. It makes the publishers feel so good about how much people want to hear this message, which allows us to print even more copies and distributors to be even more excited to carry the book. So truly, your pre-orders make all the difference. Again, those links will be in the show notes. And thank you so much for your support. On with the show. Okay.
Right, hi, Bean. Hi.
What up? You're crying.
I am
crying already.
Because I'm so proud of you and your book and all of the work. And I can see how it, even when you say it, it really comes from your soul. Like it's, aww, you're really asking people to pray. You really want this to be the success it should be.
Yeah, I really do.
I want
it so badly.
And I want it for you too. And it's such a great book. It's so good.
Thank you. Thank you for being so there all the time. How are you? What is happening with you this week?
All right. Not much. I know we film a little out of order, but it was back to school week for me this week. So it's been that week. You know how that week goes. Like, you don't know what day it is. It's kind of like that last week in December where you're like, what? What's happening? Who is it? Yeah. What day is it? What time is it? How do I get all these things done?
It is. It becomes super chaotic all of a sudden. It's like you go from like laying on your lounge chair to, oh, shit.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
And packing lunches. So how are you doing? How are you coping?
I'm coping medium.
What's your vibe right now?
I feel like it's up and down. I miss my babies a ton.
Yeah.
And I kind of worry about them all day until they get home and tell me they're fine. But it's fine. I mean, but I also now can like, I had stuff I've been putting off that I can now get done, and I can focus on work a lot more. And make
You guys go back to school really late.
We do. We go after Labor Day.
That's really
nice. I think it's because everyone goes down the shore for Labor Day around here.
Down the shore.
I knew you were going to say it. So
I don't know why I say it with a southern accent.
I don't either.
I should say it with a like northeastern accent. But
like
I don't,
a Jersey.
Yeah, I don't have that one down.
This was my accent face. Check out our YouTube. How are you?
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh,
we have a delightful delight for you from our YouTube.
Okay, I'm not even going to ask you how you're doing. I'm just going to share my delight. My delight is one. Well, I'm going to say it's twofold. So I'm in charge of YouTube. I can't say I'm doing a bang up job, but I'm going to keep working on it. I encourage everyone to go over to YouTube and see our adorable antics. I'm sure it doesn't come across as well just over the voice, but if you can see us dancing and smiling at each other and crying and laughing, it just really enhances the experience, I think.
Anyway, it's like an IMAX.
Exactly.
It's like an IMAX Signal experience.
Exactly. You can see how still Maury sits and how much I flail around the entire episode. Anyway, one of our older episodes, I believe it was Triggers, everyone check it out, go listen, somehow is like in the 1500 plus views. not going to, I don't want to toot my own horn, but normally I get a solid 17 views an episode. So this 1700 is really doing it for me.
We're on fire right now.
We're on fire. Additionally, somebody that I don't even know left a message on one of our videos commenting on my hair. My haircut, which has been, I feel like, a topic of many conversations on this pod.
Yes.
And complimenting. She said it's vivacious and fits is fitting. And Maury thinks that vivacious is not a pleasant word. And I think
I didn't say that. I said it is a mom word.
Implying that it's not a fun word. And I was so happy when I saw that. I thought, it is vivacious. I am vivacious.
You are vivacious. I'm happy you that someone really listened and said, this girl needs some encouragement because her best friend is not helpful.
Honestly,
with this haircut.
Shout out to Jean for being my head girl. Thanks, Jean. Hype it up. Thanks for listening.
No, vivacious is a really good word. Jean, I don't have any issue with that word other than I like to give Melissa a hard time. You could have used any word and I would have called
still like my short hair. Anyway,
that is delightful.
It is. For both of us, I'd like to say.
Yeah, I agree. Okay.
You got anything good over there?
My delight was getting the email from my publisher that my book was available to order. I was driving with my son. We got to his school and we pulled over and I pulled up the email before he got out. And I clicked the Amazon link and I saw an Amazon page with my book on the cover. And then it's like, you know how Amazon bolds the date? It's like, you can receive by if you order now, March 17th, 2025. And I literally just burst out into tears.
Oh, you did? You didn't tell me
I
that.
I did. I was really overwhelmed.
Yeah, it was
the
amazing.
Fact that you can order it and have it in your, like that a site like Amazon is like, this book will be available is big. And then I went down, I was like, oh, it's on Target.com. It's on Walmart.com. Huge. It's like, Barnes I'm really, Noble. Yeah. Yeah. So I am really humbled because I have had this dream for so long. To see it actually manifest into something tangible is beyond what I expected it to feel like.
And I'm really so proud excited. Of you that I feel like I wrote a fucking book.
You basically did. I mean, you had to deal with a lot of my, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. Can you please read this chapter?
Yeah. If you read it, you'll know she knows what she's doing.
So I guess we're both pretty delighted with ourselves.
Wow. Look at us being so freaking delightful. Nice. Go us. Love this energy for us. Which actually, speaking of great energy, leads me to the topic of today.
Okay.
Not really. My transitions are not seamless, but I like to,
they're funny.
I like to pretend that they're seamless. Yeah. So... we're going to talk about the fall equinox, which if you've been a good listener for a long time, you know that we like to do episodes on the equinox, on the solstice. We've done winter, summer solstice. We did the spring equinox in the spring. We're very into nature over here at Signal Podcasts, and we like to make sure you are into it as well. But also it's very timely as it is the fall equinox in a few short days from now, September 22nd. Marks the also known as the autumnal equinox.
Ooh, you said it. I wasn't even going to try to say.
Oh, you weren't? I was going to ask you. Autumnal.
Oh, don't,
that's yep. right.
Yep.
Autumnal.
First time was it.
Autumnal. Okay. No. Okay. Let's just call it the fall equinox. How about it?
I like that.
Okay. The fall equinox. So it's September 22nd in the Northern Hemisphere. And it's the moment when the day and night are the same length. We get just as much sun during the day at many hours as we do with our buddy the moon at nighttime. And summer's over. That's it. It's done. Fall begins. It's official. Which honestly, if you live where I live, it's like the most fun season on planet Earth. It's the most fun.
Agreed.
The pump. There's like 300 some farms around where I am. They all have like pumpkin fall festivals. It's just really a delightful time if you live out here.
Agree. I miss it a lot. This is completing our equinox and solstice puzzle. This is our fourth and final season.
We had to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to do it.
I think that of all of the solstice and equinoxes, this is the one I knew the least about. So I was really excited to learn about why, I don't think we talk about like autumn equinox very much. I think No. Winter is clearly about going into darkness, and summer is about the light. And so I learned a lot just researching this episode. Oh, but fun. I think the reason that we like to do this is because these moments in the seasons mark something really profound spiritually for humans from the beginning of time. And, you know, our ancestors, through the things that they've built, have shown us that they were really mindful of these season changeovers. So we want to get into why. Why is this changeover of seasons so profoundly important to the ancestors, and what can we learn from it and be mindful and bring it into our own journeys as we go into the fall?
I love that we integrate. I mean, I was really unaware of any of these, but I love the idea of integrating something that's already happening in nature and applying it in your own life.
Yeah, totally.
Beautiful.
All right. Well, let's get into it. I mean, I'm going to do my quick little history, or you know,
You're my favorite little history buff over there. Professor Bean.
Moment. And then we'll just talk about really what we want to take away from this is, how do you, dear listeners, take this fall equinox into your own spiritual or self-growth journey and, you know, use it to do either a little ritual or be mindful of what you want to invite in or let go of. So, brief history. So the summer, or the fall equinox, comes from the Latin words aquas and nox, equal night. And it does, like Bean said, it symbolizes the equal length of day and night. And really what I learned in looking at this both spiritually and from an ancient civilization standpoint is that the autumn equinox is about balance, the balance between light and dark. So thinking about that theme going forward, really what it does is it symbolizes this period, as do all of the solstices and equinoxes, of introspection, of gratitude, but also preparation for darker, colder months ahead. And it represents this shift in energy from outward action, which is summer oriented, to inward reflection, going into winter. And it's about being able to be in the space between the two, of outward and inward, and using this season to continue to watch the things that you, the seeds you've planted, grow and now bear the harvest of those things, but also go inward and be thinking now cyclically about, okay, well, what's next for me? What do I want to let go of?
Yeah.
What am I ready to start to plant in the next season going forward?
I love some of the language I loved when I was reading a little bit about it was that we go from this phase of like abundance. We had, you know, everything blooming in spring and all of the fruits of the summer and all. And I thought about it not just in terms of nature, but like even our summers tend to be very abundant. We do more, we see more, we are more free. And that it's shifting from this moment, this time of abundance, into, like you said, a time for quieter introspection. We're like in that phase in between.
Yeah. Totally. The concept of yin and yang actually represents this concept of balance and the fall equinox too. And in Taoism, you know, yin and yang being that yang is this active energy, this outward energy, summer, but the outward world. And then yin is the introspective internal energy. And the idea of yin and yang is that they're always perfectly in balance and reflecting one another. Really, for us, what that is meant to help us grasp and understand is that we need to be constantly working to be in balance as well. Many of us can be very outward focused and not inward focused. And then alternatively, there's lots of us who can be really inward and not connected to the outer world. And what our spiritual teachers and philosophers have been telling us for ages is that the true key to a fulfilled life is harmony and balance between the inward and the outward, or the yin and the yang. So yin and yang is a great symbol of this fall equinox of balance.
That's tricky.
Tricky to be balanced?
Don't you think? I mean, don't you think it's, of course. I think that's what we all aspire for towards is balance. It's really hard.
And the inner and outer is tricky for you in which direction? Like, where do you tend
I don't know. I think it's just tricky to be balanced. I think it's tricky to balance the yin and the yang, the light and the dark, and live with both of them wholly.
Yeah. I think that I have a hard time balancing the yin part of my energy. I can be really yang oriented. Like I am extroverted. I get my energy from other people.
Yeah.
And I think like times of true silence or solitude can be hard for me. So I do feel like my focus for this season is going to be, how do I spend more time alone productively? I can spend my alone time hedonistically. Like
what?
Binging a show.
Oh.
You know, like ordering something I really want to eat and binging a show. Or listening to, like, right now I am obsessed with political podcasts, I think, in a way that's not helpful. Oh, I listen to them nonstop.
Oh, no, I can't. I can't.
I know. Yeah. So it's like, but that is alone time that's not introspective.
Not at all. In fact, it's distracting, if anything.
Yeah, totally.
But can I also say it's also okay to take some alone time where you binge and you eat something.
Yes,
really
absolutely.
Because that's critical also to feeling okay and being whole.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. So our ancestors and ancient civilizations, like I said, have cared about these equinoxes and solstices. I just wanted to tell you guys a little bit about how the fall equinox has meant something to several of these civilizations. The Druids in ancient Celtic traditions celebrated the fall equinox and called it the Mabon. It's a time to give thanks for the harvest. And there's a little story actually attached to this that I thought was interesting. Mabon is named after a Welsh god, Mabon ap Modron. And the mythology is that this god was associated with youth and love and light. And then he was stolen from his mother at 3 days old.
What?
And kept hostage. And then was later rescued by King Arthur and his knights. So Mabon symbolizes the eventual return of the light after the dark of winter, which I would think is a spring story. Right. But it is a festival that's about balance and reflection. About really having the two, the light and the dark, be in balance. And they celebrated by feasting and offering food to the earth and honoring the turning of the seasons. And as I was thinking about this, you know, what came to mind, and then it came up in the research, is like these ruins that we are so fascinated by, specifically in this case, Stonehenge and Chichen Itza, are all, or these two, built to track the solstice and equinoxes, right? Like when the sun at the moment of the equinox or the solstice is in a certain place, it comes through Stonehenge specifically, or it comes through Chichen Itza in a specific way. And so why would these ancient civilizations be so fascinated? Well, they were agricultural societies,
right?
So the change of seasons had a lot of power and control over their lives. What was able to be planted, what was able to be harvested, did they eat that season or not? So when they are in this place of being so, what's the word I'm looking for?
Every time I give you the word you're looking for, it's wrong.
It's like being in the, like you're powerless, but your power is for somebody else. I'm just going to say, being so powerless to the forces of nature, that then creates a reverence to these forces of nature that is worshipped. And that's where you see a lot of these ruins come from. So Stonehenge, which is that ancient stone circle in England, is aligned with the movements of the sun. It's most famously linked to winter and summer solstice. But many believe that also it is connected to the fall equinox, and that ancient people gathered at the sites, at the site to celebrate the alignment of the sun at the equinox. Chichen Itza, even more fascinating. So that's the Mayan pyramid in Mexico, is precisely aligned to the sun's movements on the equinox. And during the fall and spring equinoxes, the setting sun casts a shadow that creates the illusion of a serpent slithering down the pyramid steps.
How did the aliens come in and show them the way?
Ancient aliens, guys, you need to watch that show.
We should do it up. Wait,
so they have the serpent is called Kukulakan. It's a feathered serpent deity in Mayan mythology. And again, with both of these, Stonehenge and Chichen Itza, it's really this alignment is showing like how important celestial events were to these ancient ancestors. And again, because they're such agricultural societies, obviously very important because it's changing their lives. But like, how incredible to build a pyramid that actually interacts with the sun during the solstice.
How did they do it? I just need to know. Amazing. Yeah. I'm also a little creeped out by a feathered serpent.
Right?
Have you ever heard of a feathered serpent?
I don't know. It's kind of cool. I'm not a serpent fan.
Yeah.
It's vivacious. That is true.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, serpent, those feathers are vivacious. I'm going to post a picture. I'm going to find a picture of that feathered serpent and I'm going to post it for all the
and
friends.
And put it, like, put your head on it with your haircut.
Oh.
For like double the vivaciousness.
Wow. Okay.
We'll be looking for that on our Instagram.
Check out our Instagram /YouTube. Wow, this is some interesting history.
So there's your little itty bitty, you know, it mattered. It mattered to these people. So how can it matter to us?
How can it matter to us? Should I talk about it? Do you want to talk about it?
I would love to hear what you think.
Oh, another thing that I read about this that I thought was very in line with kind of our spiritual growth during this time is that back to what I was talking about, the concept of abundance, all of the leaves on the trees start to fall.
Yeah.
So we were in this period of fullness and everything, and now they're starting to fall and the days are getting shorter. And it's like a time for us to release what is not serving us any longer.
Yeah.
Like the trees had these leaves, they served their purpose, and now they're shedding them and they're falling to the ground.
I'm going to tell you something, and maybe our California listeners who are transplants here might agree with me, but there is something really off-putting. I mean, listen, I live in paradise. I am not complaining. It is stunning and gorgeous, but there is something really weird about not having the seasons really change that much.
Do you lose, could be a very moronic question, but do you lose leaves over there?
Not really. There's one tree I found after we moved here from Maryland that has a bunch of, I'm not going to get the species of this tree correctly.
But I hope you do.
A bunch of a certain kind of tree where the leaves turn red and then they fall. And I would literally drive the kids over to that street and be like, look at these leaves, guys. They were like, this is depressing.
You were like, no, it's beautiful.
No, it's great.
It's time to let go.
So I will say to your point about, you know, using like nature as a cue that it's transition time in your own self.
Right.
There's something to be said for that. And I will say living in California, it can be a little like, or Southern Central California, it can be a little confusing. Like, well, wait a minute. For example, like where I live in Santa Barbara, we call this summer, September to November, gets hot here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's really extra weird because everyone's talking about, you know, sweaters and pumpkin spice lattes. And we're literally right now like in a heat wave. And it does interrupt that cycle. It's almost like time slows down or something.
And now I'm curious about what people did in ancient times. Like you're talking about all these ancient rituals and farming. And so what was going on over there? Were they just like, let's just keep surfing? They were like, who cares?
I noticed when I look at the plants that we have planted, like we have this really gorgeous passion fruit bush tree.
That's really fun. Yeah.
And I do watch its cycles. I think that, you know, crops and plants do also have obviously natural cycles, regardless of what we're seeing. So you do see it in what is being produced. And there is seasonality to the fruits and vegetables and things like that. So I'm sure that in those civilizations, that's what it was about. But I think to your point about watching the trees fall, the leaves fall, or feeling the chill in the air. And like, you know, it creates, it's almost like your internal clock clicks and says, oh, now I'm going to flip into this mode, whatever that mode is. And it's kind of like getting ready for hibernation.
Yes. Which I unconsciously was following, but I never really paid much attention to it until we started doing episodes on it. Like how much that is really a cue for you to take a moment and pause and reflect. Because people should be doing that quarterly anyway.
Yeah.
And so this one, I really like the concept of letting go and the leaves are shedding and we're shedding our own things that no longer serve us, that may have served us in the spring and the summer. Like for me, it could be I drank excessively this summer because I was like, it's summer. And now I'm like, this doesn't feel good and it is no longer serving me. So I'm going to shed my excessive drinking for the fall. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like the intentionality of, I think that's, I would, my takeaway is, besides the balance, what am I ready to let go of?
Release.
And what am I ready to start to plant inside that then manifests externally? Think about, like, you're going to plant the seeds now. You're going to let them hibernate over the winter. You're going to really go internal, and you're really going to look for all the places that you have blocks to those things blossoming. I like that. Yeah. So when you think about those seeds that you want to plant, then winter is about that introspection of, like, what needs to be healed here? What are my limiting belief systems that are stopping me from manifesting this, so that in the spring and the summer, they can begin to burst forward and you can, you know, reap what you sow.
So we're going to, like, sort of create space for new growth.
Yeah, totally.
It's like a clearing right now. Love.
Yeah. Yeah. The balance conversation from Taoism and yin and yang really reminded me of the way that I talk about the infinity symbol in my work, where, you know, the infinity symbol, which is this, you know, cosmic signal, you see it everywhere. I was actually watching this really cool Instagram reel that someone had set up a time-lapse camera of the sun over, it was like 2 years or something. And it was plotting the trajectory of the sun every day across seasons. Yeah. And when you speed it up, the sun makes an infinity symbol. That's what
it does. All about? I want to see that video. Wow. Yeah.
So the infinity symbol is, like, truly so divine and included in so many parts of spirituality and cosmology. In my work, the infinity symbol represents our relationship between higher self and limited self, or your human self and your divine self, or your fear self and your limitless, fearless self.
How? So, I don't understand. How?
So, well, you read the book, so you should be able to. There's actually an image, Bean. Quiz time.
Wait, I don't recall. I can't say I was studied all the images.
No, I'm kidding. The concept is that, you know, over here on the left-hand side is our limiting belief systems, our limited self, our fear self.
Right.
And that sometimes modern healing can be so love and light focused that what it convinces you is that those darker parts or those shadow aspects need to be dealt with and go away.
Right.
But in my method, that's ridiculous. We are human. We are limited. We're literally in the human body, which means we are limited to this body. And we are this divine inner self that comes from the cosmos, this soul that is expansive and timeless. And so the infinity symbol in my work really represents being in the balance of being human and limited and in fear sometimes, with being limitless and expanded and being your higher self. So that's what this autumnal equinox, I said it, and the balance autumnal really reminded me of, is this work of, you know, embracing our human self, our fear self, not trying to turn away from it and run away from it or get it to just be quiet, which we then numb ourselves, but to have a balance of introspection and healing and listening to that inner voice that is fearful or in pain, and knowing that we are this higher dignified energy that is expansive and limitless and purposeful. And that is the dance of life, is to be in both experiences simultaneously.
Very tricky, as I mentioned up top. It's a very, very hard balance, but I like it. Do you have any exercises? Do you have any good
fall rituals?
Autumnal equinox exercise.
I'm going to give us one.
Oh.
And you can make this as big and dramatic of a ritual as you want, or you can make this as simple and practical as you like. But on this equinox, on September 22nd, or the day before, day after, it doesn't matter, by the way. The universe is not tracking.
Oh, it doesn't?
It's an intentionality thing. It's like, what is the energy and intention that you're bringing into the season? What you can do is think about, you know, what are two or three things that you are ready to really shed and let go of? It can be the way that you think about things. It can be the way that you behave in certain situations or interpersonal relationships. It can be the relationships themselves or the circumstances that you're ready to let go of. But write down two and three of those things and you can, if you want to ritualize it, turn on a little fire and let them go. Burn them on little slips of paper. Or you can just write them down on one side of a piece of paper and cross them out. And then, you know, take a deep breath and just ask yourself, if this system is open to planting new seeds that are aligned to my truest desires, the things that are really going to bring me joy and fulfillment, what are those seeds that I want to plant now? What do I want to be doing next year at this time that I'm going to be proud of? Or how do I want to be conducting myself in a way that I'm going to be proud of because it's in such alignment to my truth? Where am I performing something that's not real, that's not really who I am, that I'm ready to set down? And how do I want to plant seeds of authenticity around who I really am? And write those things down and leave that list there for yourself to go back and refer to. And it's just a nice moment to be really mindful about, all right, this balance season is going to be about letting go of the things that aren't serving me and planting new seeds that I'm going to then allow to grow inside by looking at the areas that I probably have to heal or the limiting belief systems I have to confront over time. But that as I do that with intention, those seeds can grow into something really beautiful.
I love that. And I think even the letting go aspect, it doesn't even always have to be something that is inauthentic to yourself. It could just be something that served you well and no longer serves you.
Yeah,
and kind of itemizing your life and going through each one and thinking, is this for my greater good or is this not for my greater good? And letting go of the things that just no longer serve you. I feel like we've used the same language, but I think that this is what this equinox and the purpose around all of this episode is freeing yourself of these things that are probably at this point maybe weighing you down, like your dying leaves.
Exactly. Very well said. Is that your Melissa's famous takeaway? I feel like you just
gave it wasn't, it but I kind of feel like I did. You're right. Is that coming down and pausing and just taking this moment to go through your life? I do love that. I feel like the planting and stuff is great for the spring, but this is like really like, let's get rid, let's shed all of this nonsense that's not working here anymore. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I think a lot that I'm going to try to really work on now that my kids are all on the same schedule, because all three of my kids are, two of my kids are now in the same school and one's in another, but last year it was 3 and 3 and it was like chaos all the time. But now that there's a little more consistency, I really want to learn how to manage working with you and being a mother, because I feel like I was just hitting my stride a little bit and then summer kicked in and my kids were home and it was like, I can't do anything right. I can't be a mom right. I can't work right. I can't do anything. So this is my season to say, first of all, stop talking to yourself like that. And second of all, coming up with new plans that do work for myself, that do make it more possible to balance the two. Wow.
I love that you just realized that you were saying something profound and related to the actual topic. You were like, Bean, look at me talking about what we're talking about.
How many gold stars do I get for this?
Well, let me ask you a question, though, in the spirit of what we're talking about. What limiting belief system are you going to let go of to make that possible?
It's a tough on the spot question. I think it has to do something with what I view me being a good mother actually looks like.
Yes.
Like what I'm always like,
belief system though.
Like, I think it's that if my time is not always spent with them when I have a moment, it's not right. Like I should be spending all of my available moments with them and for them.
Right.
Whereas I need to say like, this work is really important to me. And I've learned that over the summer with my kids being home and over time, that how vital this is for me and my well-being. So I need to give it the energy that it's requiring of me. And it doesn't make me a bad mother. They will see me in a different light now, which is okay.
Yeah. I love that.
But I can't do it yet.
No, but that's
I'm still good. Working I on it. That's my goal.
You know what I say? Awareness that's awareness. A limiting belief system. Poof. Like once you are put it under the microscope and you're like, oh, I'm holding this limiting belief.
Yeah, I am.
It will not stay the way that it is because you're now aware of it.
What about you? Hit me up.
What limiting belief system am I going to let go of? I think that with the book coming out in the spring, yeah, what I want to plant is the knowing that this message is something that I have been chosen to carry and bring forward. This message that we are all intuitive and that we have this power of inner wisdom and we don't need to hand our power and our knowing over to other people. And the limiting belief system that wants to crop up is like, no one cares about this, or no one cares about the way you say it. And I'm really ready to let go of that. And I really do truly believe that because this is my purpose, then it's going to resonate. And there are people who need to hear the message, and
I agree
that it's going to be heard.
I agree. You've always had something to share. I've known it forever. And now it will be in book form.
That's the great thing about your family and your best friends is that like they see your higher self before you do something.
100%.
Yeah. Well, on that note, Bean, thank you for always seeing my higher self. Happy fall. Get your sweaters out. I'll be sweating over here in California. Listeners, thank you as always for listening. And next week, we'll be back with another episode. If you enjoyed this episode, please, please, please share with your friends and family so we can continue to spread our message. And we'll see you again next week. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Bushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.